Yet another tough day for baseball. We have all the reaction and a new segment. This is Locked On Brewers.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everybody. I'm Dominic Catronio, along with Vinny Rattino. Thanks for making us your first listen of the day. This is Locked On Brewers, your daily stop for everything Milwaukee Brewers. And right now, of course, we are still locked out. We've got a lot to talk about as far as reaction to yesterday's negotiations, Vinny. We also are going to be talking, as you may have noticed in the title today, starting pitching. Look, I know we don't have a season firm in date yet, but when there is a season, we're going to be breaking down each position core for the Brewers. And today, what better way to start than with the starting pitchers, because they were the best unit by far, maybe not just for the Brewers, but maybe in the National League. We're going to talk about the starting pitchers in today's episode, and as well as reacting to today's CBA. But Vinny, I just want to ask, you know, I know we were all on pins and needles today, watching, you know, refreshing and trying to see what was happening. How were you reacting to today's news?
I mean, I thought a deal was going to get done today, and I was just like you. I was checking MLB trade rumors is where I get my news and everything from the CBA and just baseball in general, and I was checking it probably every 5 minutes because they said they were going to get an update this morning, and didn't really come until, I don't know, closer to noon, I felt like. But it was tough to see that, you know, I was waiting to see, hey, we're playing baseball. That was kind of the headline that I was hoping for. Obviously, we didn't get that. Frustrated, to say the least. Obviously, I've been frustrated, as you have, this entire time that these negotiations have been going on, and it is frustrating. I mean, look, it's time for spring training to start. It's time for baseball to start. We're all needing it. We're wanting it, and it's just not here yet. And obviously, some of the things that they're discussing are hanging this thing up, but looking forward to getting into that with you.
So, basically, we were texting on Tuesday night talking about the fact that we had just finished recording with Eddie with Cedar. If you haven't listened, go back and listen to that episode. But talking about the fact that, hey, here they are in another midnight marathon negotiation. I am ready to do an emergency pod in case they do, because I'm an hour behind you. I get that benefit of getting to stay up a little later. And I say, hey, I'll do an emergency pod if they come to a deal, and then we'll post Eddie another day. And it was the most meaningless extra 3 hours that I stayed up in my life. And I'm like thinking, great, you know, they tell us all to go to bed, and that means here we are again. It's just like Florida. We have this marathon negotiation, allegedly, and then say, all right, we've made good progress, and we'll get it done tomorrow. And then the train wreck happens. It's just deflating, man. I'm over it.
Yeah. It's deflating, and now all of a sudden they're delaying opening day until the 14th at the earliest. So that's disheartening, to say the least. And Dom, get into it a little bit. What's the hang up here? The international draft, the qualifying offer that's being attached to some of these free agents. Is that it? I mean, is that what they need to get past?
It's more than that. There's a lot going on here. And look, I know a lot of this. I've said this in previous podcasts. I'm not an expert, but I've kind of become the de facto expert of this on our podcast, not anywhere near else in the world. It's just because I'm reading so dang much. But I could go a whole dang hour on the international draft, good and bad. It's probably one of the more contentious things in baseball. Do I think we will have an international draft eventually? Yes. Do I think this is a negotiation for it? No.
Right.
And here's why. We are fighting to see baseball played by the professionals on the field, by the big leaguers. And they are claiming they are trying to get the money in the hands of their players, of their 0-3 pre-arbitration players. We're getting close on that pre-arb pool. The minimum has been raised over $700,000, over $100,000 year over year. They've made progress there. That is fantastic. But now, to suddenly walk in and be so stern on the international draft, and the players don't want the international draft. I want to make that clear. The players do not want the international draft. The Major League Baseball does, because they feel it would help regulate things in the Dominican. And we've touched on it briefly, but things are pretty shady sometimes in the Dominican. You've got these kids that are being scouted and handshake agreements by adults around them when they're 12 and 13 years old. That's the whole point of trying to get rid of it. But there's another thing of, well, now they can't negotiate. They don't have any leverage power when they're getting drafted. And that's why the players have always fought to keep away from a draft system for the Dominican. My point is this. if we're fighting so hard for about an international draft, we're worrying so much about this and about the players coming from the Dominican and the millions of dollars that they're going to make and the bonus pools, and that there's a study saying that, oh, through the draft, the players would be distributed $20 million more dollars than they would if they were just doing the international bonus pool money. I'm just hitting the button and saying BS on that, because why are we so worried about the international draft when minor league baseball is an absolute shambles stateside? Absolute shambles. I am so excited to see minor league baseball happen. Players are still not paid properly. The housing is allegedly now, a requirement, but we haven't seen anything firm documented about required housing for minor leaguers, and we've seen snags in that. Minor league pay for spring training time. Like, all of this stuff is not mandatory, and we're worried about an international draft before we're worried about this stuff. That's where I'm at with all of this, and that's why I get frustrated when one little snag ends all of this. If we're going to be worrying about the international draft, then you got to bring everything else in. But my point is, if we just sit and look at what's important to this CBA, international draft and minor league pay probably aren't near the top of the list. I would love to see minor league pay on it, but right now we need to get back onto the field, and we're pulling things out of midair to say, oh, we don't agree on this, and we can't move forward, and that's why we're still here, delayed for 2 weeks.
That's a great point, Dom. One that I don't know has been made in any of the articles that I've read.
It's not on the table. It's not on the table at all.
Talking about it, though, right? I mean, like, to your point, it's not going to help the major league season to start to be able to hash out details about the international draft. That is a whole can of worms that is very, very difficult to really understand and wrap your mind around what goes on down there, Dominican. I scouted down there. It is the Wild Wild West at times, but they have regulated it some. I don't know how the international draft is really going to clean things up, so to speak. I mean, they're still going to hide players, right, and stuff like that, where they're not really even showcased, because then another team's going to come in, and I don't know. It's gonna kind of remain kind of, not shady is the wrong word, but just hard to regulate. And just, what does it even look like? Who knows, right? So you're right. Why are they even talking about it in this CBA negotiation when we want to just see baseball? I totally agree on that. That's a great point. And yeah, I mean, let's table that for another time. I don't know if there's a way to do that, but they should.
So they were proposing this, and I want to backtrack real quick. Minor league baseball is not in shambles. That was a bad choice of words. However, the structure of pay and the way, guys, it's getting slightly better incrementally, but it's nowhere near where it should be. And I would like to see that improved in the future. I want it to be in the CBA, but the fact that we're at this point, we're March 9th and we have no games upcoming imminently, there's some things that need to be left on the cutting room floor. And it's, to me, these are things that should be left on the cutting room floor at this point. But to your point about, what if we table it, the international draft, and get back to it later? That was on the table. That is something that was in these three proposals that you may have read about, talking about Major League Baseball trying to make an ultimatum saying, we're going to tie in draft pick compensation to the international draft. And if you're not familiar, draft pick compensation refers to when a free agent leaves a team after being offered a qualifying offer. If that player gets signed by another team for something more than the qualifying offer, the team that he leaves gets a draft pick, and the team that he joins loses a draft pick. So the players want to get rid of that draft pick compensation. The owners dangled, okay, we'll get rid of it if you also agree to an international draft. That was one of the options. And the players are like, wait, you're pulling our leg here. What if we try to have an agreement on no qualifying offers this year only? And if we don't have an agreement in place for the international draft by November 15th of this year, it's gone. We go back to the old system of draft pick compensation for 23 season, and we let it ride out for the rest of the CBA. The owners rejected that proposal. And on top of that, there was also a proposal to say, from the owners to the players, hey, we will try to form an international draft in the next 2 years until 2024. And come 2024, if we have no progress, we have the right to reopen the CBA, which means we'll be right here sitting another lockout in 2 years trying to negotiate things. They could reopen the entire CBA over one issue. So thus the players rejected that. This is where it gets really convoluted and confusing. The point is, we have delayed another week. April 14th is currently opening day, and it's significant as of now because April 15th is going to be one of the biggest days on the calendar. It is the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson's debut. If we miss the diamond anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier in baseball, shame on all of us. Not just the owners, not just the players, not just the fans. Shame on all of us. This is just absolute catastrophe if we miss that. And I would be personally absolutely heartbroken if we miss that. And at this point, all signs seem to point that way.
Man, I can't believe that they would let that happen. So I do feel like, and we've been saying this almost every episode, every time we talk about this, I feel like a deal's coming. I feel like a deal's coming. Maybe I should say I feel like a deal's not coming. And maybe they're going to miss half the season, and then a deal will get done tomorrow. But it's like, my goodness, they're so close on all the economic issues.
Yes.
I feel like that's done. And now all of a sudden they're bringing in this international thing. I mean, it's kind of bizarre, really. That they're kind of bringing this up right now. And I don't blame the players for rejecting that. I don't think you should have to reopen these negotiations after all that we've all been through. We don't want to go through this again in another 2 years. So let's get this thing figured out and go from here. But hopefully that's the case tomorrow.
So they will try to negotiate, I imagine. Too. They're technically negotiating Wednesday night, not in person, but the lead negotiators are figuring things out. We don't know the next scheduled meeting face-to-face is. But anyway, that was a lot of negativity. Let's shake that off. Let's hope baseball can get its act together here soon. But in the meantime, I'm going to take a quick breather and tell you about Mission Possible. This is a great story. This is an audiobook that's now one of our newest sponsors here on Locked On, Vinny. Are you ready to discover your purpose and leave an impact wherever you go? It's Mission Possible, written and read by New York Times bestselling author, or better known as the athlete, Tim Tebow. He encourages you to find your inspiration, pursue your purpose, and create a life for yourself that counts. Ignite a new spark in your life through this inspirational listen. Mission Possible by Tim Tebow is available everywhere where audiobooks are sold. So in today's title, we mentioned that we are breaking down the starting pitchers, and now we're going to put a smile on our faces, right, Vinny? We get to get into the fun part of the show, analyzing players and analyzing the best pitchers in all of the National League.
I mean, I feel like we haven't talked about baseball and about players in a while, even though we have guests on every once in a while that we can do that. But just us breaking things down, this is the meat and potatoes of this show. This is what I love to do. This is what you love to do. So I'm glad we're going to get into this today.
And so for folks listening, like, well, why are you going to break down the team when we're still in lockout and moves can be made? Let's look ourselves in the mirror real quick here. The Brewers are pretty set. You know, they can maybe splash on a free agent, but the rotation's pretty set. It's just going to come down to who's pitching when. The infield is most certainly set. And then the outfield, you almost have too many bodies out there between Yelich, Kane, Renfro, and Tyrone Taylor, in addition to Jace Peterson and guys like that. So then you got Kessin here. I mean, this roster is going to look pretty similar. Maybe you can figure out the bullpen in the future before it gets to Williams and to Hader. You still got Suter coming back. Brad Boxberger was not re-signed before the lockout. You see if he will be re-signed at the end of it. But today we're talking about starting pitching. And, of course, you've got the Cy Young Award winner on here. What we're going to do with this is just kind of go one by one alphabetically, talk about through a year, talk about what's to come. And basically, we just want this to be as easy flowing as possible so that we can remind everybody how good this pitching staff was a year ago and what the numbers and the computers say what they will be doing next season. So let's just start right there at the top of the alphabet, Vinny. Aaron Ashby, AA, Aaron Ashby, leading things off with us. Now, remember, he only appeared in 13 games last year, four of them being starts. He had an absolute clunker at the start of the year and at the end of the year for him. But in 13 total games, he had a 4.55 ERA in 31 and two-thirds innings. But a lot of folks are still thrilled about this guy. Can you take me behind the curtain? Why are folks so excited about Aaron Ashby?
Well, first of all, you just look at the stuff. Like, if you just watch him pitch and watch the stuff, I mean, a lot of times when fans are watching pitchers pitch on TV, it looks kind of easy, right? I mean, the ball's coming in straight. It doesn't look that hard. Obviously, it is once you get in that box. But on TV, the game does kind of look easy. Not with Aaron Ashby. I mean, the stuff is absolutely filthy. I mean, it's a 98, 97 mile an hour. It's basically a right-handed slider, his sinker, right? And then that thing falls off the table. He's got a nasty two different breaking balls. His slider is a little bit sharper and tighter than his curveball, but the curveball is still a plus pitch. And then he's got a developing changeup that absolutely is also disgusting. So he's got four plus pitches. His fastball is actually more than plus, a double plus, elite pitch. And then he has the ability to command the baseball and throw strikes. Now, that has been his bugaboo in the minor leagues a little bit. The walks are a little bit up, but that's to be expected with a pitcher who's just developing, a guy that's kind of revamped his mechanics as well a little bit. And so now he's more under control with those mechanics, with his lower half, kind of got himself more synced up with his upper and lower half now, and he's able to drive the ball through spots. Like you said, you take away that first start and then the last outing. I mean, he was one of the best pitchers in that stretch in all of baseball. The only question I have is he slotted for a starting role? I mean, have they given him that role, Dom?
That's a good question.
I haven't read that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's something to be figured out. In fact, Zips doesn't even know. The Zips projections on FanGraphs projects him for 61 appearances and 55 of them coming out of the bullpen. So we don't know exactly what his role will be. Granted, he's come up in the organization as a starter, but filled a need to be a swingman and that extra man when Brett Anderson was down for the last stretch of the run. And, you know, plug him in here and plug him in there, get three innings out of him, get lefties out in the playoffs. That was his role at the end of the year. It remains to be seen if he will be in the actual starting rotation.
Yeah, I mean, and I personally think it is a good option for the Brewers to have him in the starting rotation and continue with that six-man rotation. It was kind of historic what they did. The first time, I think, ever that there was a six-man rotation pretty consistently, I mean, very consistently all throughout the year. It allowed guys to stay restful. It allowed guys to bounce back from, you know, tough outings, outings before. It is very difficult to pitch over the course of a 162 game season, especially with those legs. Pitchers, you always hear pitchers talk about how they lose their legs, especially in August and September. It is just it takes a toll on you. It is a very anaerobic move to throw a baseball. I mean, if you ever played catch and you really aired it out, you're gassed after about five throws, right? You're huffing and puffing. So these guys, I think it's very beneficial to have a six-man rotation, and we'll see if the Brewers do implement it. But I'm kind of leaning towards that they will.
And just a quick wrap up on that: if the Brewers have a six-man rotation, and let's say this season is shortened to 120, 135 games or whatever, advantage Brewers come postseason because they are going to be the most rested, ready arms maybe in baseball. So that's something to keep in mind. Next up on our list here for starters, what more is there to say about the reigning National League Cy Young winner, Mr. Corbin Burns? I just want to read you his stat line one more time for kicks and giggles from this past year. A 2.43 ERA that led the league, a 12.61 strikeouts per nine that led the league, 7.5 wins above replacement according to FanGraphs led the league, in a 1.63 FIP led the league. This dude is unreal. The cutter, he's your ace. He's going to be your opening night starter, and I just don't know what else we can say about what Corbin Burns has done. I'll get into the projections in a second, but I love looking back at what the year it was, and I'm so happy for a guy that's just worked so hard to do it.
We could do a whole week's worth of episodes on Corbin Burns. I mean, we could do a whole episode on each one of his pitches and how nasty they are. The thing that I really want to highlight is that this dude has got four more years of control, right? Or is it
three more? This is his first year of arbitration.
That's right. Okay. So that is huge, right? So if they don't extend him, and I personally would love for them to extend him, if they don't extend him, you still have the access to a Cy Young Award winner for the next 3 years. And here's the thing. He's going to continue to get better, and he's going to put up the same type of production. I mean, what he's been able to do with Chris Hook is simplify everything. He's out of the stretch only now. He repeats his delivery. He's able to stay in the moment mentally, and he's kind of elevated that mental game. That was the next hurdle that he needed to cross from that 2019 kind of a debacle of a season that he had. He's able now to backdoor that cutter. He's able to just kind of use all of his stuff to both-handed hitters. there's really nothing he can't do, and there is no indication that anything's going to change with what he's been able to do. Again, always health is you always kind of qualify everything you say about a starting pitcher or any pitcher for that matter, you know, as long as they stay healthy, and I don't see why he wouldn't. Takes care of himself. It's kind of a simple delivery. There's not a whole lot of, you know, strain on anything going on. But as long as he stays healthy, he's going to continue to do what he's doing. And that is such a positive for the Brewers for these next 3 years.
It's hard for Zips to grade a reigning Cy Young winner. They have him slightly regressing to a 5.4 WAR for next year as opposed to 7.5. Oh, boy. I mean, it's projections. All right, it's projections. Yeah. And also, I should note, these projections are based on 162 games, so this could be subject to change. Big thing is the FIP going up in its projections to 2.70, which is still a great number. A big thing to remember, Corbin doesn't allow home runs. Right. And one of the biggest things that impacts FIP is allowing home runs, which he does not do. So for a dude that's pitching in a live ball, an extremely live ball, home run happy era, to keep the ball in the ballpark is probably shockingly the most underrated thing about him, given he's striking everybody out. So that's just something to keep an eye out for next year.
Seven homers he gave up. That's it.
Amazing.
Next, I mean, Logan Webb was great with nine. He's a huge single
ball guy.
But
he's pitching in San Francisco, too, to be fair.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, seven homers, only gave up 27 extra base hits, which is kind of crazy to think about. That's less than one a game. He pitched in 28 games last year. So, I mean, he's just going to continue to do what he did.
He's so much fun to talk about. All right, next up, we're going alphabetically here on our starting pitchers. Adrian Houser, the curious case of Adrian Houser. Now, remember, he came in out of the bullpen, and he pitched very well for the Brewers in the postseason last year. He's been a swing man. He can do a little bit of everything. Ground ball specialist. He was second in the National League in ground ball rate among pitchers with at least 120 innings last season. So that's what he does with his sinker. He's really good at it. So the advanced metrics don't really pan out for him. He doesn't strike out a lot of guys. That's his role. But I think people don't realize how important it is to have a steady 140 innings out of somebody who's healthy. And that's what Adrian Houser just gave you last season. He's kind of, I mean, when you're spoiled with Woodruff, Peralta, and Burns, you kind of forget that a lot of teams would love to have Adrian Houser as their two or three on their teams. He's a very, very solid pitcher.
He is a two on a World Series team for a lot of other teams. Maybe a three. You know, on a World Series team, he's a three. I mean, he's the number four or five for the Brewers. I mean, just because, like you said, they are spoiled with starting pitching. I mean, the ability for this guy to execute pitches now. I'm telling you, I saw him in 2019 as a starter with the Brewers, and he had a decent year, but he would always let – the wheels would always come off for this guy during a start at some point. He would always give up a mistake, sinker right over the middle. He would try and do too much, pull off. That sinker would get super flat. You didn't see that from him much at all. Every once in a while that would creep back into his game, but the guy has taken such a step with that mental game and with his ability to stay in his delivery and be effortless through release, and his stuff actually ticked up because of that. Instead, in the past, he would pull off things and actually would flatten his stuff out and it wouldn't be as nasty. And now he's just been able to really rein in what he's capable of doing. Again, kudos to Chris Hook and the entire pitching lab team there. They did a phenomenal job with Adrian Houser, and he is a very, very important piece to the starting rotation.
And remember, he's the only one with a complete game shutout in the Craig Council era, which is the best piece of trivia, I think, in of this last year's team. I love that. So Adrian Houser, be on the lookout for him in your starting rotation next year. And another guy that kind of has the same similar mold, throws from the other side, Eric Lauer is next on the list, going alphabetically again. An interesting year for Eric last year. 118 innings. He's left-handed. A few appearances out of the bullpen. 3.19 ERA. Now, there were times that we felt like he was all effectively wild in a way. The ball wasn't staying in the yard sometimes. But, man, he clicked it in the year in the second half of the season. And while Burns and everyone else was kind of running away with the headlines as far as how good the pitching was, Eric Lauer is another one of those guys that you are going to underrate and be very grateful for on any other team. You drop him on any other team, he's a three, and he's left-handed. What he can do is so impressive. And another guy that keeps the ball in the ballpark. I mean, the numbers from last year at the end of the year, I'm pulling it up right now on Baseball Reference because I just realized I forgot to write it down. Last season, yes, he allowed 16 home runs. Almost all of those were early in the season. He made an adjustment, and it clicked, and everything worked out for him.
Yeah, and the adjustment that this kid has made was to really implement that cutter, right? So he used to be a little bit more traditional in terms of his pitch usage, but now he's said, you know what, I'm just going to throw a lot of fastballs, a lot of four-seam fastballs, and a lot of cutters. He's able to stay off the barrel a ton. And once he did that, if you go back and look at the numbers, when his pitch usage went a little bit more skewed towards the four-seam cutter combo, I mean, it was really, really good. 27th in the league in ERA of guys that had over 100 innings. And I mean, a 3.19 ERA. I mean, it was just super impressive what he's been able to do. We saw him and Adrian Hauser saw maturation from these two guys. And now, how about that Trent Grisham deal, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone thought that was a totally skewed in favor of the Padres. Not anymore. My goodness, with how good Eric Lauer has been, and obviously how good Luis Urias was last year as well. So. What a pickup. This is another guy with three more years of control left for the Brewers. So again, he's going to be part of their window going forward.
Here is Eric Lauer's second half last season. 62 and a third innings. That was spread out over 12 games. 11 of them were starts. He only allowed 6 homers in those 62 innings. He had 17 walks and a 2.60 ERA to go with 63 innings. So he's striking out about 9 per 9. He's allowing far fewer walks than he has, and opponents are only 193 in the second half. He found something, like you were saying, with that fastball-cutter combo. It really started to work out for him.
It definitely did. It was super deceptive to hitters. And again, both-handed hitters had a hard time picking him up. And it was just a small little subtle move with that cutter. And then you saw later on in the year, too, he's able to kind of turn it over just a little bit more and kind of add and subtract to that pitch as well. So he's really, again, figuring some things out, really maturing as a starting pitcher, and it's exciting for this rotation.
All right, let's pay the bills here real quick as before we get to our final segment of talking Brewers starting pitching. We're going to tell you about Built Bar here, of course. As we are in March, if your New Year's resolution's eating healthy, you better have Built Bar as part of your repertoire. You can try their amazing puffs as well. Cinnamon churro, coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie for these protein-infused marshmallows. So fluffy and so good for you. It's a sweet treat that you actually want to eat, and it's good for you. Don't ask me how they do it, but their kitchen is absolutely amazing. They try to make it delicious first and then make it healthy. It's covered in 100% real chocolate. Yeah, it's got 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Replace all your candy bars with Built Bar. Low calorie, high protein. They are the best snack that you can reach for in your pantry. Go to Built.com, BYLT.com, and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. You can see their entire flavor lineup there. Again, Built.com, promo code LOCKED15. We're also brought to you by Rock Auto. Look, I've told you guys last week, we just bought a headlamp from Rock Auto. Super easy service. I didn't have to go to a local chain store. Didn't have to make sure and ask somebody, all right, well, what is this one my model? Well, I got to get that one. That one's the high-end one. No intimidating questioning. Super simple. Just go to the website. You can save time and money with Rock Auto. You can choose to spend 30% or 50%, even 100% markup at the chain store, or you can go to rockauto.com. Who've been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. So when you go to rockauto.com and you see all their parts available for your car or truck, make sure you write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that you know that Vinny and Dom sent you there. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Okay, so we're going to talk about three more guys here, and let's start with, in my opinion, the most underappreciated pitcher in the National League, Freddie Peralta. What a story for this guy. I am so thrilled for his success. He's a guy that I've been lucky enough to see in the minors on his way up in the Brewers organization when I was in the Carolina League. He mowed down the team I was working for. I was looking around, like looking to Greg Young, saying, why is this guy still in high A? He should be out of here. And I'm so thrilled to see his successes this year again. 144 innings pitched, a 2.81 ERA. Remember, he missed about a month with a shoulder issue from a swing. He could have been a Cy Young contender as well, and the Brewers could have had three guys qualify to have a sub-3 ERA. Yes, sometimes he gives up the long ball a lot. But man, the strikeouts, 12.16 strikeouts per nine innings. Fastball Freddy, he's learning to add a little bit more to it with that slider. Not many pitchers can get away with just two pitches, but Freddy Peralta certainly does.
I think we were at that same game. I was scouting for the Rangers at that time. And you must have been calling that game because I remember, I think the first pitch of that game he threw was 84 miles an hour, and then it was like 94 the rest of the game. And yeah, this is one of my favorite players, favorite pitchers ever to watch. I mean, it is impressive. His intensity, his mound presence, hitters feel it. Not only, obviously, he's got the super deceptive fastball, right? And he's kind of lived and died by that so far in his major league career. But it's also that mound presence, right? He gets away with some mistakes because of that. He is coming at you. But yeah, so let's talk about that deceptive fastball. And then he's added that slider. He's added a little bit of a wrinkle to that slider. And he's kind of made it more vertical. So he's got the curveball as well. He's mixing in a changeup a little bit more. He is another guy. So this is what's so impressive about Freddie. He is another guy that is developing right before our eyes in the big leagues. And he was that good. And like you said, he could have cannibalized a few votes for Corbin Burns for the Cy Young if he qualified with enough innings pitched. But he hasn't even really fully developed yet. So this guy might be better than all of them. And he is on a very team-friendly deal. So I'm just so glad he's a Brewer.
He's so much fun to watch. I love the story. He was worth a four wins last year, according to FanGraphs. And remember, he missed time. It's amazing to think this guy isn't even close to his ceiling, you feel like, with what he's doing. And I love you're talking about the intensity. He's probably the fastest working pitcher in the starting rotation, aside from Brent Suter. He is probably the fastest working pitcher. Get the ball, go, staring in right over the top of the glove, that bring it around the top of the head. I love that. I mean, not just saying, like, get off my lawn, play the game faster. There is something to being uncomfortable in the box, having your defense sharp behind you because you're moving quick.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, that is a huge part of what makes him successful and adds to his deception. We've talked about that in the past with Brent Suter. The thing, the confidence that this kid has, though, and he's always had it, it's that it factor, right? I remember when he was a rookie, he was in Dodger Stadium, bases loaded. I think he walked the bases loaded. There was a mound visit. He didn't want to come out of the game. He was going to get it done, and three straight fastballs right past the name is I'm forgetting who he punched out there in that situation, but it was a big name. Here comes the heater. I think it was 3-0, and he comes back with three straight fastballs. I mean, the mound presence, the confidence to be able to do that in Dodger Stadium as a rookie in front of a packed house, I can't tell you how impressive that is. And this kid has always had that it factor, and that's why I love Freddy Peralta so much.
So much fun. All right, before we get to Brandon Woodruff, I want to bring up one name that's going to be in the race once spring training actually comes. I remember we talked about, we don't know if Aaron Ashby is going to actually be in the starting rotation. Another guy that has a chance to audition to be in the starting rotation is Ethan Small. Remember, Ethan Small is one of the top prospects. He's left-handed. He pitched in the Dominican Winter League this year. He only pitched in 77 innings of minor league baseball this year, but the numbers jump out at you. A 1.98 ERA in 18 starts, a 10.7 strikeouts per nine, nearly five walks per nine. He can lose command a little bit, but here's somebody that has maybe one of the best changeups in all of the minor leagues and has a lot of deception that we talk about with the fastball. You can break it down better than me.
Yeah, the fastball deception's kind of his MO because he was in the low 90s range for a lot of the season. And then, so I mean, that's not a hard fastball, but it's the ability to command it to the top of the zone with that deception. Gets a ton of backspin, a ton of vertical movement, but also he's got that extension just like Freddy Peralta. Throws across his body a little bit, which adds to that deception, but he does, like you said, have that really, really good changeup. He's got a slider that's developing. I saw him right out of the draft in 2019. I saw him all the way up to 96. So if we can tap into that velo a little bit, that would be getting into a situation where all of a sudden you have another guy, right? He reminds me a little bit of Drew Pomeranz, the ability to really backspin that baseball. Pomeranz obviously had that bigger curveball. Obviously, the Brewers had him a couple of years ago in their playoff run. So, I love Ethan Small. He's also got that it factor. He punches everybody out with just kind of pedestrian stuff at this point, but the deception is real. Guy, it's a very uncomfortable at-bat for hitters, so he's another guy to keep your eye on.
Yeah, he'll vary timing and do shimmies and things like that. He makes things funky up there. So that's just a name to keep an eye on. And we wrap up the episode with Brandon Woodruff, who, again, we talk about underappreciated guys, but this man is beloved by Milwaukee. He was your opening day starter in 2021. By all means, would deserve to be the opening day starter again in 2022, but the guy that he's probably going to start behind is the Cy Young Award winner. Look, we take it for granted, a 2.56 ERA this year, and he was your number two pitcher, worth almost five wins, 4.7 as a starter, 179 innings in an era where nobody throws more than, you know, 170 anymore. Like, if you get to 200, you're a Greek god, you know, 179 right. innings in a six-man rotation. There's something about he carries himself like a veteran that's been in the show for 10 years, even though he's just now entering arbitration. He's so much fun to watch.
He is fun to watch, and the ability for him to command his 97 to 99 mile an hour heater is what makes him really successful, because I talk about this a lot. Like, his breaking ball is obviously developing. He's got two of them. He's got the slider. He's got the curveball. He went away from the slider a little bit, and this is what I saw in the minor leagues from him. It would kind of cement mix up there. He didn't have a lot of consistency with that pitch. So this last year, he kind of, in the second half, went to more of that breaking ball, the bigger breaking ball, and he's really developed that pitch. I've always loved his changeup. He's using that more. But the ability, again, to command and set hitters up and really just pitch at that high of a velo is what makes him really, really good. He also has the ability to two-seam and four-seam the fastball, which is very deceptive to the hitter, especially at those kind of velocities. So Brandon Woodruff, like you said, I can't believe how under the radar he was with this season that he put up. I mean, it seemed as if he did not get the recognition that he should have. I know he didn't have, he had a couple of starts there at the end of the year that were not his best, and that may have been why we didn't hear as much about Brandon Woodruff, but he has been kind of the anchor to the lineup, or to the rotation, besides obviously Corbin Burns. So what a season from him, and more to come from him as well.
Well, remember, he finished fifth in Cy Young voting last year.
Yeah.
And there was probably a bias in the fact his record was 9-10. Remember, he made 30 starts this year, and it felt like in half of them, he exited with the game being 1-0 or 1-1 or 0-0. He was the bad luck starter for the Brewers, and his record suffered from it. And again, this is your number two. A guy with a 2.56 ERA, 211 strikeouts, and a sub-1 whip. This is your number two? This is it's unheard of to have this kind of talent in your starting rotation, and he's your number two. I can't explain that enough.
And Dom, and you know, I've heard a couple of rumblings, and I don't know if I think I read these somewhere that maybe he could be on the trading block just because, you know, they do have such a deep rotation. I don't think so, right? I think they're gonna need him to cover those really, you know, 180 innings again this next year. And they're going to need him. And they're going to need him for the run to the World Series. So I don't see that ever really happening. He's your number two. I mean, what a good problem to have, that Brandon Woodruff's your number two. Freddie Peralta's your number three. And I don't even know who's your number four. Lauer or Hauser, both guys, which could be a number two on any other team.
It's so much fun. And just to wrap up Woodruff, his Zips projections are almost identical to what his numbers were this year, which is pretty much the highest compliment the computer can give a pitcher. Very rarely is a computer ever going to say you're going to be better than you were last year. All right, it's always given the benefit of the doubt, saying, all right, well, more guys have seen him. He's not going to pitch as well. I mean, his FIP's almost identical. He's saying going to strike out almost identical, the same rate of guys. Walks a little bit up, but he's actually going to be worth more in wins in WAR this coming year as opposed to last year. So, I mean, that's pretty rare in Zips, and that's a pretty high compliment to have as your number two starter, again, fifth in Cy Young voting a year ago.
Again, it's like they've got all these dudes that can really lock it down. And we're going to get into this in future episodes, but all of a sudden you have all these elite starting pitchers that then you just need a bridge to, my goodness, why am I blanking on the best closer in the game's name.
Josh Hader.
Josh Hader. Oh, my goodness. Please edit that out. No, keep it in, actually. It makes it for entertaining. But you just need a bridge to Josh Hader and the game's over. That's why this Brewers team is going to be so good here for the next, you know, obviously 3 years, I think, but really have a chance to win the World Series when Hader is on your team as well.
It's fun. Now, let's just make sure we get back on the field soon, okay?
Please.
This was a long episode. Look what happens when we're actually talking about baseball, Vinny, not it. About CBA.
We love it, Dom. We love it. Let's get these guys back on the field so you and I can just kind of ramble on like this again. It's awesome.
Yes, I love it. Well, he's Vinny. I'm Dom. If you stuck all the way through this, thanks so much. Again, Garrett Green's coming tomorrow. We're going to be talking AA Biloxi Shuckers. Really looking forward to talking to Garrett, and be on the lookout for that interview. If you haven't listened to Eddie Cedar yesterday, super fun, one of the nicest dudes in baseball. And really, really enjoyed that. So he's Vinny. I'm Dom. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.